I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hey everyone, welcome to Let's Get Civical.
This is the podcast that breaks down politics, government structure, and dives into the context of current events, but in a super fun way. I'm Lizzie Stewart, comedian, feminist, and political junkie.
And I am Arden Walentowski, former Senate intern, campaign staffer, and political strategist.
In this episode, we're talking about the United States Geological Survey.
So grab your maps.
And let's get civical. Everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back to Let's Get Civical. I am Lizzie Stewart.
And I am Arden Walentowski.
And we are following through. Mm-hmm. We are following through with what we said we would do.
This is true.
Promises were made. Expectations were set. Promises. So this is us delivering on a silver platter. An episode topic that we talked about last week.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's so nice to kind of know.
Yes, it was. I woke up this morning and I was like, I'm going to do notes and I don't have to stress
you
about
don't
what
stress.
They're
going to
be. I already knew.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
That's half the work. Half the work is being like, what could I possibly do?
Yeah.
To keep these people entertained.
Yeah. And I was excited to do them because it was my idea.
I was so excited to do them because simply it was a great idea that I thought of.
Mm-hmm. Could not have been more thrilled.
I know. I could not know less about this topic.
Amazing.
Anything. Single thing. I know that it exists.
Sure.
That's it.
That's great. I mean, the only thing that I know more than nothing about the U.S. Geological Survey is that they watch all of the volcanoes and earthquakes for us.
Totally.
And again, I only know that because of the amazing natural disaster movie from the 1990s called Dante's Peak.
I really thought you were going to say Twister, but that also is fair.
Also fair, but no.
Dante's Peak. I don't even know what that is.
Oh my God, it is an absolute wonder, perfection of a film. start to finish, never lets you down. Pierce Brosnan.
Ooh.
Pierce Brosnan? Yes. Pierce Brosnan. Yeah. And Linda Hamilton.
Ooh.
Very good.
What's the disaster? Or is that like spoiler?
It's a dormant volcano.
Hell yeah.
Who wakes up.
Who?
And it's, yeah, she stretches. She wakes up. She's like a Kit Kat.
Yeah.
From a nap.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, how long was I out for?
Exactly. Exactly. And she is not happy to be woken up.
No.
And the whole, there's like a team of U.S. Geological Surveyists from the government.
Yeah.
And they go to this small town. And there's like a debate about, you know, is the dormant volcano really waking up? Are we causing too much alarm? It's a lot of, it's not too much science. It's enough science.
Yeah.
To give you the idea of what these people do.
Like Apollo 13 science? Or is Apollo 13 more science?
Apollo 13 is more science. But okay. Like, but enough science.
On a scale of 1 to Apollo 13, how much science is in this?
1 to Apollo 13, this is probably like 6 or 7 science.
Perfect.
But really good. You know, like the term paraclastic cloud gets thrown out and you're like learning things.
Yeah. Couldn't even be.
Volcanoes.
You know what I, the cumulonimbus. Really took me a long time to be able to say cumulonimbus.
Right.
Cumulonimbus. Really
tough. That's hard to say.
That's a cloud.
It's a cloud.
It's a cloud.
Yeah. So that's where I learned about the U.S. Geological Survey was from one of my favorite movies of all time.
Wow.
And then, you know, the other week when we were hit by the earthquake.
Totally. Well, that's why. I mean, that's ultimately why we're doing this
that's
now.
That's really what brought it. Yes. Yes. And that was, we were like, what?
New York had an earthquake that was rougher than huge. Yes. And everybody was like, And of course, the Geological Survey came out and was like, here's the information on what just happened. And what are you talking about?
We don't get this here.
What do you mean?
A 4.8. I don't understand.
This was in California.
And then there was an aftershock that happened later.
Yeah.
Did you feel the aftershock?
I wasn't here. Famously, I was in Texas.
Oh, right. You were in Texas. Oh, my God.
Missed the whole dang kit and caboodle.
Mm-hmm.
And I. Yes. So, yes. But I heard about it. Heard about it.
Yes.
Was in the know about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, without further ado, let's kick this off. Do you want to tell us about the notes for today?
Sure. The sources are history.com.
Yes.
Great little how we got the U.S. Geological Survey and like what her first, purposes were, because they weren't earthquakes and volcanoes. That came later.
Totally. Everything evolves.
Everything evolves and becomes earthquake and volcano focused. Doesn't start out there. And then National Geographic, like the education side.
Hell yeah.
The magazine side and not the kids, just the
Not Nat Geo kids, which we also love
and have pulled from before and not the overall
This is
magazine.
Like the adult Nat Geo
this
kids.
This is like the edge. Yes, yes. And then, of course, the U.S. Geological Survey herself, because they surveyed the Grand Canyon. And so they had like a great story about surveying the Grand Canyon. So I thought that would be a fun story to tell.
Yes, we're just here to tell tales. Yeah. Pop off.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's jump in and start first and foremost with what is the U.S. Geological Survey? If you haven't seen, what is it called? Crimson Peak? Dante's Peak. If you haven't seen Dante's Peak. So you obviously don't have the education that, you know, Arden possesses. This is what the U.S. Geological, I keep wanting to say society, and it's not a society.
It can be.
I mean, it is. But it's a survey.
It is. Yes. It's a group of people doing one thing.
Survey.
Yeah.
The United States Geological Survey is an agency of the United States Department of the Interior. It is a scientific agency that researches Earth systems. What I do find interesting, this has nothing to do with the topic, but the fact that we call it Department of the Interior, not Department of Interior.
It is interesting. Like
the always trips me up. Department of the Interior.
Right.
I'm just like the Department of Interior, Department of War, Department of Education, Department of Commerce, Department of, I don't even know if that's a thing.
That is funny. I never thought of that. I mean,
Department of the Interior.
Right. Why do we need the there at all? Or why do we need the there at all?
I'm always looking for landmines when it comes to reading aloud. And sure. Let me tell you, the and Department of the Interior is right. Always one.
Right.
Anywho, back to the U.S. Geological Survey. Its mission is to make scientific data available to help people understand Earth, prepare for natural disasters, and manage the nation's natural resources. Yeah, so they are, like, if there's an earthquake, they're the ones that are, like, immediately, like, this is what's going on.
Right.
Information.
Here's your information.
Here's what size it is. This is where yep. It started from.
Mm-hmm.
Don't panic! A real first responder type of situation.
Yes.
The agency also provides data to lawmakers and community leaders to assist in decision making. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't know. You tell me if we should worry. You tell me if we should right. shelter in place or evacuate. Or
right. Are there going to be more aftershocks? Like,
is there going to be a tsunami?
Is tsunami big concern with earthquakes?
Always a concern with earthquakes.
Right? Do we need to evacuate the town of Dante's Peak so that the people don't die? Like,
yeah. What do we got to do?
Mm-hmm.
So kind of to take a little look at the history mm-hmm. of the survey. So the United States Geological Survey was established in mm-hmm. 1879.
She's very old.
Very old.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, its mission was to study the nation's land, including natural resources and geological structures. The research was to be used to classify public lands and make decisions about land use. Since its formation, the Geological Survey has evolved to meet the changing needs of the nation. Over time, its activities have ranged from surveying oil and natural gas resources to mapping the landscape to assisting in conservation efforts.
Yeah.
They got their hands in all sorts of pots.
They're doing a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're doing a lot of things.
I mean, geez Louise.
Yeah. So today, the U.S. Geological Survey is involved in a variety of areas of scientific research. These mission areas include systems, ecosystems, energy and minerals, land resources, water resources, environmental health, and natural hazards. Another mission area, Core Science Systems, is tasked with characterizing and understanding complex Earth and biological systems through research, modeling, mapping, and the production of high-quality data. They're doing a lot of, like...
I feel like they got maps and maps and maps.
Yes. And how does one thing affect the other? What do we need to know about this system affecting this system?
Yeah.
Very complicated things that I don't understand and I'm glad that somebody else is doing.
It feels like, you know, like those memes of like a corkboard and they're trying to solve a yes. crime and it's like, this is connected to this, it's connected to yes. this, it's connected to this. Like, that's right. what this feels like.
Right. And then there's an earthquake.
And then there's an earthquake and they're like, ah!
Right. And they're like, well, we told you.
We said. You didn't read the board.
You didn't listen, though.
We said, told
did you.
You
not see the corkboard? Exactly.
Yeah.
Through its natural hazards mission area, the U.S. Geological Survey plays an important role in protecting people and property. It monitors natural hazards such as earthquakes, volcanoes, my favorite, and hurricanes. The data collected by the agency helps communities protect and prepare for natural disasters because they give us warning.
So let's talk about establishing the U.S. Geological Survey. So Congress established the United States Geological Survey as an organization to play a pivotal role in the exploration and development of the West. So Congress was like, look, we got all this land.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what is going on. It's like an official Lewis and Clark.
It is, yes.
That's what they established. They were like, look,
yeah.
back in the day, there were these two guys, Lewis and Clark. Let's take that idea, but make it big, baby, big.
Big.
I'm talking people.
Yeah.
I'm talking employees.
Yeah.
Agency. Although rough geographical outlines of much of the American West were known by 1879, the government still had astonishing little detailed knowledge of the land.
Yeah.
I love us. Like, we have no idea what's going on.
Just
over
west.
There.
It's over there. We don't really know.
It could just be like mud and muck for all I know.
Yes, that's probably what it was.
I mean, literally all we have is like the diary of Lewis and Clark. And they're saying like it's pretty good, but like.
It's pretty good, but we don't know.
There's two guys. They didn't do all of the West.
No, they just went like that way.
Yeah, just went that way. Earlier federal exploratory missions under men like Ferdinand Hayden.
Great name.
And John Wesley Powell had begun to fill in the map, yet much remained to be done. Yeah, I mean, again, it's like we can't just do two guys with like a backpack and a dream are not going to get a sense of the entire American West.
No, because there's a lot out there. There's a lot of trees and a lot of canyons. Mm-hmm. I mean, you and I have done road trips.
Yeah.
You and I in cars.
Yeah.
With other people have not covered the American West.
No. And so we've done a lot.
Two dudes on horses.
Forget it.
Not happening.
Congress decided to transform the earlier system of sporadic federal geological explorations into a permanent government agency known as, of course, the United States Geological Survey. So they're like, we're tired of sending two guys at a time.
Yeah, no.
We gotta get some budgets. Yeah. We gotta get some people. Yeah. And we gotta get manpower so we can actually know what in the God's name is going on in our territory, by the by.
Yeah.
And I get it.
I get it, yeah. I get why they wanted to do this.
Yeah. I mean, this is, and it's so interesting. It's very post-Civil War. It's like, wow, we just had this horrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
We almost destroyed each other. So let's just focus our attentions not in north and south, but west.
Let's go over here where there might
be less conflict, inner
turmoil.
Yeah.
Let's focus over here.
Let's make sure we got all our ducks in a row, they said.
Ducks in a row over here.
Because the south really caught us
upsetting
by surprise. So let's go make sure the west is good.
Let's make sure over here is fine. From the beginning, the U.S. Geological Survey focused its efforts on practical geographical and geological investigations that might spur Western economic development. Right. They needed money. They're like,
totally.
Maybe it's out there.
Can we farm this land? Is there gold? Is there like...
What can we do?
Timber.
Since the vast majority of the nation's public land was in the West, the U.S. Geological Survey became one of the federal government's most important tools for encouraging the exploitation of Western natural resources.
Totally.
Yeah. Congress appointed Clarence King a brilliant, a brilliant young mining engineer and geologist as the first director.
Okay, Clarence.
Mm-hmm.
Not a brilliant, yet,
a
like,
brilliant
what made him
engineer.
Brilliant? Like, what made him brilliant? He
could engineer quite well. And
which at this time is very impressive because that is pen on paper doing math.
Yes, that is with rulers and
things
that are not computers. Yes, and he was a good miner. He probably knew, like, I smell gold right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, maybe he had a nose for it. King's attempts to aid Western mining won him praise from both mining companies and Western congressmen, but King was eager to make his own fortune in the mining business. Conflict of interest. He was very good at what he was doing, but the government was paying him to do it for the government. But the mining companies were like insider trading
Insider trading.
Yeah.
This is OG insider training.
100%.
Clarence, my guy, I get it. I'm not mad. Like, pop off.
Yeah.
But this is very funny where he's like, I know all the secrets and where to mine, actually, because the government has paid me to know these things. And now I'm going to set up my own little business.
Yes.
And make a bunch of money doing the thing that I'm not supposed to do. But what are you going to do? Because you need me because I'm a brilliant young mining engineer.
That's true. All of this is true. And I'm humble about it.
Honestly, pop off.
I know. Right?
Don't hate the player. Hate the game.
Yes. So he resigned as director in 1881 to pursue what he hoped would be more lucrative opportunities with mining. So eventually he did the right thing and was like, right.
Well, yeah. He's like, now that I've learned all that I need to know, I'm going to go mine.
I'm going to go over here and make money full time in the private sector.
Yeah.
Being brilliant at mining. And you guys, federal government, can find somebody else.
Totally.
Which they did. They hired John Wesley Powell, a bold geologist explorer who had led the first American explorations of the Grand Canyon.
Totally.
So, like,
He was one of the guys we mentioned earlier.
Yes, he was one of the guys we mentioned earlier. And he, so he's no, like, flimsy hire.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, right? Guy is a mining engineer. Like, that's his background. His background is in, like, the numbers and mapping out, but, like, also within mining, which is a very specific sector. Whereas this dude is actually a geologist who studies the land.
Yes.
Not necessarily with the intent to, like, then excel what the land has to offer.
Right, exactly.
I think this is a better fit.
Probably a better fit, yes.
Yeah.
Powell extended the work of the survey into new areas like paleontology and soon became controversial for his bold assertion that much of the arid West would remain unsettled without large-scale irrigation projects. So he's like, my assessment? Bad purchase. Like, really
dry.
You
gotta figure out how to get the water here.
Gotta figure out water situation because there's a lot of land, but it's not growing much but cactus's eye.
Yeah. And he's not wrong.
He's not wrong. No, he's not wrong. Yeah.
He's literally not wrong. And also, by the by, this is, well, I mean, part of the very same land that we create a Dust Bowl in just a couple of decades.
It is coming. Because they didn't listen to him. They were like, whatever, John.
John, enough.
Take your cactus and go elsewhere.
Go play with the rocks. Mm-hmm. We'll leave this to us. Mm-hmm. Relax.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the fun story of mapping the Grand Canyon.
Yes.
To give you an idea of what the Geological Survey does. So in the summer of 1923, the U.S. Geological Survey organized an expedition to make a new map of the Grand Canyon, which was the last stretch of the Colorado River that had not been accurately surveyed.
This is insane. They're doing this 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it on a river. Like,
oh, yes.
They're doing it on a river 100 years ago. No, they've got no safety devices.
No safety devices. They're just like, let's go down. There's the Grand Canyon. There's the falling rock rapids.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
It's like the animals are not used to us being there. Like they haven't adapted to that. So there's just, I'm sure, all kinds of dangers. Like totally. It's just amazing. Like good for these dudes.
Up until that time, 1923, only 27 men were known to have traversed the length of Marble and Grand Canyons, and of those, only two had any scientific knowledge. One of those two being, of course, the king of the castle, John Wesley Powell.
Yeah.
Who did his first expedition down the river in 1869. So, you know, John Wesley Powell really has a lot of bite to his bark.
Yes.
He's like, I am one of two men who had scientific knowledge who went down the Grand Canyon and did the whole dangerous expedition.
Right.
So you're welcome. I knew what you're I was welcome. Looking at. Unlike the like other 25.
Dude. That happened 60 years before this.
Right.
He was quite a young dude.
Quite a young dude. This 251-mile stretch of the river extended from Lee's Ferry to Diamond Creek. Claude Birdseye, who was the chief topographic engineer of the U.S. Geological Survey, was the expedition's leader. So this is in 1923.
Yes.
Claude Birdseye. Great name.
Great name. And I will pop in to say there were, of course, other gentlemen with them who had different kinds of scientific jobs.
Totally. I would hope so.
Yes. Different members of their party who were doing different
things.
I feel
like there should be nobody on this expedition who doesn't have scientific knowledge.
Yes. Yes, there were like another three or four scientific dudes.
Love that.
Yeah.
The party also included a cook. Mm-hmm. Because scientists can't cook.
No.
Four boatmen whose skill and nerve were crucial to the success of the expedition. That's fair. That's
fair. You gotta have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I expect scientists to know how to cook. I don't expect them to know how to like row a boat down the Grand Canyon, the Colorado River into the canyon.
No.
A combination rodman boatman and four wooden boats. These are all the things that they brought with them on this expedition.
Yes.
Birdseye was charged with making an unbroken level survey line through Marble and Grand Canyons and running the survey line up side canyons. In addition, the party was to survey possible dam sites.
Yes.
So they're just basically trying to be like, they're just scoping it out and being like, yeah. It goes this way, it goes up this high, it goes up that high. Mm-hmm. And then there's this little section. Dam.
Damn, we can put water damn. Here and like release it into the fields, grow yep. us some food. Yep.
The expedition launched from Lee's Ferry on August 1st, 1923. They completed survey at Diamond Creek on October 13th and landed the boats at Needles, California on October 19th, 1923. So this took from August 1st, basically, to October 19th.
Yes.
In total.
Yeah. It's about a week.
And it's pretty good that they did it so quickly.
Yeah. There were some scary moments. Yeah. But they did it very quickly.
They did it very quickly. Birdseye was especially suited for the arduous work of leading the expedition. He was a highly skilled organizer whose surveying expertise, including, Mount Rainier. Rainier, as we've learned that it's called.
Sure.
Not
sure.
Mount Rainier. Not Mount Rainier.
Rainier.
Mount Rainier. And the crater of Kilauea in Hawaii. Okay. He's qualified.
He's qualified. Yes. Yes. I love that we've picked a qualified guy to do this. Excellent.
Yeah. Thank God.
Great. Thank God. So during the expedition, minor injuries were frequent. There was one of the guys on there in their party is a guy named Bouchard. He fell backward into a barrel of cactus with fish hook spines. Fortunately, he had earlier repaired a hole in the seat of his pants using the leg of a discarded boot and was thus saved from serious damage.
Huh.
So he's got like a padded butt in his pants.
That rocks.
And so when he fell into the cactus, it just hit the padded butt in his pants.
It happens.
I mean, it happens to the best of us.
Totally.
The wooden boats were all 16 to 18 feet long and weighed almost 900 pounds. So, like, yes. That's why you need these flipping boatmen. They're probably huge dudes.
They're just muscle.
Who are like, I got it. Don't worry about it. They're mm-hmm. John Cena's. Like, they're the John mm-hmm. Cena's of the time. Are you kidding me?
Absolutely.
That's why these scientific, you know, like, surveyors with their monocles are like, let's put the water dam here. Couldn't possibly steer.
It's very like,
hey, 900 pounds.
Oh,
yes,
hey,
exactly.
Oh,
exactly. In the course of the 251-mile trip, the expedition ran 84 rapids and many other stretches of rough water. All the men wore cork life jackets. I did not know that that's what they made life jackets out of at the time.
That makes sense.
That makes sense. Yeah, it floats. And in rough water, the passengers laid down, face down on the decks, clinging to lifelines strung along the gunwales. So, like, they're laying in the boat.
Face down.
Like, I think so that they don't take on the water. Like,
totally. Whoa, like a waterboard situation.
Right, yeah. right. Exactly. Yeah. And then, like, in the boat so that, in theory, a 900-pound boat is not going to tip over.
Oof.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Sounds god-awful.
Don't love it.
On the evening of August 2nd, the men set up a radio and immediately learned that President Warren G. Harding had died just 45 minutes earlier. Yeah.
Yikes.
So apparently also, like, the Grand Canyon at the time, great for radio transmissions. Like, they were getting radio set up and able to communicate the entire time they were this trip. Yeah. So it was great because they were, like, sending transmissions out and then often getting them back. And, like, it was great. So they had total communication.
Wow.
On a later broadcast, the announcer directly addressed that heroic band of engineers braving death in the rapids of Colorado. So they're like listening to the radio and some announcer is like, hey, you guys.
Hey, you're doing great.
Out there in the rapids.
Although I have to
kudos.
Say, if I'm President Warren G. Harding, God rest his soul, and I've just died, I don't think I want any other news being talked about. I don't care about the people in Colorado looking at the rocks and the water and whatnot.
Right.
You're like, should only be talking about my death. I'm the president, of course.
Right. You're like, I was the president and now I'm dead. So if you could focus on me.
No respect
for Warren. Would love a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
On September 18th, rainstorms upriver caused an unexpected flood that caught the expedition by surprise. The men spent a sleepless night repeatedly moving their camp and the boats to higher ground as the river rose 14 feet. So much water.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of water. The water rose an additional 7 feet the next day. That 21 feet of water.
That's tall.
That's a lot of water.
That's like three of me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of water. Imagine if we did have a dam. That's a lot of water that you could hold back and, you know,
very good point, Will May. Cities. I bet that's what they were thinking. And they were like,
right.
They're like, really look at all the water. Right now.
Right. Look at all the water that could possibly kill us.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great for cities?
Wouldn't it be great for cities? Yeah.
The party had to wait 3 days for the river to go down far enough to expose their survey point so that they could continue their work. When they finally arrived at Diamond Creek many days later than they had been previously expected, they were shown newspaper headlines reading, "Hope not given up for river party." Like all everybody, caps. All caps.
Hope not all, given up for hope river not party. Given up.
Like everybody maybe thought they were dead like, because.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Sorry. You would have guessed it. 21 feet.
21 feet of water. Insane.
All the way up. So crazy. Sorry. We should have called.
Should have
radioed in.
Yep. Because we did have that. But.
Right. I guess you can't do it if the water's 21 feet. I don't know.
Maybe. Maybe they lost their radio.
You could have called.
Could have called.
You could have called.
Yes. As my mother would have said, you could have picked up your phone.
Could have picked up your phone and given me a call.
Yeah.
Well, they did it. And now we know so much about the land and know so much about earthquakes and their magnitudes and volcanoes and if they're awake or asleep. And this is just a very useful, whatchamacallit.
Very useful agency.
Agency. I couldn't think of
very
that word.
Useful. Yes. Very useful agency. Very useful survey. Very grateful for all of the U.S. Geological Surveyors.
So grateful for them. Shout out to our U.S. Geological Surveyors.
Yes. Love you. Thank you for keeping us alert and to all of the things and safe.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And with that said, that is our episode on the United States Geological Survey. If you like what you heard, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Let's Get Civical. As always, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to us. We love you so, so much, and we will see you next Wednesday.
Goodbye.